This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
I think my guest is now ready on the line, Dr. Jinal Bimal. We will be crossing to her very soon, just to get a word from the National Institute of Communicable Diseases to tell us, where are we? Where are we in this fight against COVID-19? Dr. Bimal, good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for making the time. I mean, I saw, perused your report by the consortium that's doing modeling under your organization, really painting various scenarios. Perhaps, Dr. Bimal, can you just take us through where we are in terms of the various scenarios that have been shaped out?
So I think the kind of most prominent or one we're expecting the most is obviously wave three coming up in now in the winter months. I think that's purely behavioral based. We're going to have a lot of people gathering more frequently indoors, keeping out of the cold, and then, you know, coupled with just everyone being indoors, it's probably going to increase transmission. And then it's been a couple of months as well since our second wave. And so it's very possible that people who had antibody responses after the second wave, those antibody responses might be waning and, you know, making those people now vulnerable again to infection, and also kind of reducing our potential herd immunity that we may have had after the second wave. So, yeah, I think that's the kind of one we're all expecting, if not now, in the next couple of weeks.
And of course, Dr. Bimal, there are a number of assumptions that are built into the modeling exercise. It seems as if vaccination built in or the pace thereof in our country into this modeling exercise? And also, secondly, was the variant from originating in India and its possibility of being imported into South Africa also built into this modeling exercise?
So they are different, as you mentioned, there were different outcomes that were tested, and definitely one of those factored in vaccination at a wide scale. Of course, you know, we still have very low numbers of individuals who've been vaccinated and at present only in the healthcare worker population. So they are, obviously, there are models that have been taking that into consideration, but it's not really applicable right now, given the fact that we haven't rolled out vaccination to our general population. But in terms of the Indian variant, for want of a better term, not politically correct.
Yes, 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 absolutely. Just like we were pushing back on the South African variant when we were dealing with, you know, the mutation as well.
In terms of that, so its scientific name is B1.617.
Yes.
It's, unfortunately, we don't actually have a good handle on transmissibility. We don't really know if it has increased transmissibility compared to previous lineages yet. There just really hasn't been enough studies. There haven't been enough sequences, you know, that it's too new at this point. So we don't have a good handle. So it's really difficult to factor that into any model if you don't kind of have a basis or a starting point. So, yeah, that hasn't really played into any of the models at this stage.
And one big question, I mean, I'm looking at Musime's tweet, is around surveillance for new variants. How much work is being done? What do we know of people who have traveled into South Africa from India? Are they under some form of surveillance and samples are being taken and they are being tested and all of that?
Yes, definitely. I'm not sure if you know, but we do have a very strong sequencing genomic surveillance network in South Africa. You probably know we were the first country to identify new variants. And so, yeah, definitely everybody, there's five main laboratories or funding laboratories that are performing the sequences. Everybody is involved. We obviously depend on alerts from clinicians, alerts from testing labs, if they've noticed any travelers or clusters or anything. And we are monitoring the situation. I think by the end of this week, there should be some results coming out from our sequencing to see whether or not we've got the Indian variant in travelers in our country or not.
So at this stage, you cannot confirm whether that is there or not, because it seems as if the rumor mill has already been working its way through the public discourse to say it might have been detected in KZN.
Yeah, no, that is, you're correct. That's a rumor. It hasn't been confirmed yet. The samples have been received. Samples are in the process of being sequenced, but those results will only come out at the end of this week.
Dr. Bimal, I mean, the whole duty of modeling is to assist decision makers make better choices and allow citizens as well to be mindful of their own actions. How worried are you about the action from government insofar as managing COVID-19 is concerned? As you say, our vaccine rollout program is at a snail pace, but it also just seems government is mute. It's not talking to citizens. People have been saying the president hasn't addressed the nation to update them properly on COVID-19 management in a while now.
Maybe I'm not the best person to comment on this topic. I do feel like, yes, there were some mistakes that have been made, but hindsight is 2020, and I think it's very difficult. It's a very difficult task that our government is managing at present. And I just think that also we as citizens need to take it upon ourselves to start putting things into action. Whatever government has been saying to us in terms of managing ourselves, in terms of managing our exposures, that hasn't changed. Over the course of this pandemic, that hasn't changed, given the fact that we don't have yet wide, vaccine rollout. We still have to do all the things we've been doing before. We still have to limit ourselves in terms of gathering in large groups, in terms of we've got to wear our masks. We've got to keep our social distance. So, I think, we probably need some reminders from government. And I'm hoping that they will have either some reminders for us or some updates in terms of the rollout and in terms of doses that I know landed in our country this week. But I also think that we as citizens should take some responsibility now. It's a huge mammoth task for government to manage. And unless we all come to the party, Wave 3 is likely going to be as bad as Wave 2 was.
I mean, of course, we have seen from Gauteng some remarks being made that there are certain districts that are starting to see a surge in numbers in Tshwane and other areas in the Johannesburg district. I mean, as the NICD, what work are you doing to probably, keep an eye on these developments, particularly given how you paint two scenarios for Gauteng that, the third wave could be projected to peak at a higher level than it did in the second, which of course means a burden on the health system, lives lost, and back to those, very anxious moments where people are losing loved ones and loved ones are in hospitals and they have no access to them.
Yeah, so, the epi reporting on a daily basis here at NICD. So we are monitoring those numbers. We are monitoring those increases. And, again, thanks to our clinical colleagues who alert us when, they might notice something before we actually see the numbers.
Yes.
We are keeping an eye on the situation. We do also have our outbreak response unit that assists provinces that are not able to cope, but also, our own provinces have their own outbreak response units. It's something we're keeping an eye on. It's definitely something that we're trying to assist with. But yeah, I think, like I stated before, we do need individuals to, in our population, to also kind of take some responsibility, especially if you've traveled or you think you might have met somebody who traveled.
Yeah.
I think those are all just things we can, as individuals, kind of take responsibility for. But in terms of NICD, definitely we're monitoring the situation every day. And as I mentioned, our clinical colleagues, both in public and private, sector are assisting by raising the alerts when they notice something.
In fact, that relationship between yourself and the clinical colleagues was very important at the onset of the second wave, when they were starting to tell you about the changing age profile of
yes.
people who are being admitted with severe illness and requiring at times ventilation, because we had thought, you know, at some point it's just people at 60 and above who are most vulnerable and so on. Have you heard anything that you should be taking note of at the moment, or for now there hasn't been cause for alarm?
It's not as widespread and wide scale, you know, increases, but definitely there are pockets. As you mentioned, we've seen increases in the number of cases. So definitely no associations with particular age groups or gender, but yeah.
Now, I think the last one I want to get to from your report in terms of modeling, there's what is a scenario that is called slow, weak response, which, I mean, projects to as much as 70,200 possible deaths out of COVID-19-related complications. What would constitute a slow, weak response, both from a government and citizenry point of view?
So slow, weak response, I guess, obviously, in terms, I think, you know, generally in terms of lockdowns, that is really not economically viable for us. But as we did see the government doing with the second wave, there were regions, and there were certain restrictions that were imposed in areas that were hotspots. So that would be considered kind of a strong response. But in the case where that is no longer economically viable, that definitely contributes to a slower response. And then also in terms of adherence from the general population, what do we actually see in terms of people maintaining their non-pharmaceutical interventions? Those all tie into whether it's a slow or a strong or a
yep.
weak response.
Do you think, as the NICD, you have had a conversation by now to say, well, you think government should take a decision to probably restrict traveling between South Africa and India at the moment?
We have not specifically made those recommendations, but those kind of recommendations and discussions obviously are occurring at higher level at the MAC, at the incident management team level, together with DOH. And government, but that is not necessarily something we have recommended from the NICT point of view. Like I mentioned, we don't understand much about this
yes.
Indian variant in terms of its transmissibility, but purely from the mutational profile, we know that it isn't as neutralization, or it isn't as escaped as the 501YV2, as the so-called
yes.
South African variant. So in terms of that, I would say we are not really concerned. But of course, we don't know about transmissibility. We don't know about disease severity. I think in the context of India, there are many other factors which are likely contributing to the,
yes.
the situation right now.
Before I let you go, Dr. Bimal, just on this question on the variant originating in India, do we know anything at this stage about its resistance or lack thereof to the present vaccines?
No, we don't have a good handle on it. The data is still trickling in.
Okay.
But based on the sequence data that we have seen, it doesn't have as many resistance mutations as what we've seen in 501YV2. So I think, you know, it's unlikely to be as neutralization resistant, for example.
Dr. Jinal Bimal, thank you very much for joining us here on Power Talk.
Thank you so much.
Okay, that is the principal medical scientist at the National Institute of Communicable Diseases.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.